This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. We're actually here. I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 7th, episode 1514, brought to you today by our auditors, the listeners. Thank you, guys. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, last day before vacation. Couldn't think of a better way to start than with a horse playing the piano with his lips.
What on earth are you talking about?
It's posted by Sadler's Row, and it's a horse playing the piano with his lips. And he's just having a ball.
Scooter so needs a piano.
Scooter would do that.
He needs a piano.
I have to bring your little piano out, Jennifer, and see if Scooter would do that.
Horse people are crazy. Like,
well, then they gave
only
him a treat.
Horse person would get the idea of like, hey, let's video him playing the piano.
And it's probably got a million views. Oh, 286,000 views.
That's hilarious.
That's what you need to go viral nowadays, is stupid crap. But they actually gave him a treat and said, oh, he went to 18 seconds and then he went on to play again. I think they're trying to get his length of time up before he gets the treats. So,
well, I mean, no concert pianist was 18 seconds long. I mean, you got to get a couple hours out of it.
That's
so
right.
Start
right.
Paying.
That's a catchy tune, too. That one's going to catch on. Boy, mm-hmm. Jamie, it seems like a month since I've talked to you.
Wasn't it like Friday?
No, we didn't do Friday. We got hurricaned out.
Oh, that's right. It's been a week.
It's been a week since I talked to you last. We just have had a lot happen here in the last week between hurricanes and hospitals and all that stuff. It's crazy. But you know what? We have a lot to talk about in today's show. So, Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Kind of Like a Friday Wednesday edition, the winner of the Virginia Mustang Makeover, Sarah Grady, is going to stop by and tell us all about her big win. And then at mid-show, we're going to take a look at the latest horse headlines. And then after the break, Frederick the Great, the most handsome horse in the world, has one of his people stop by to visit. And then rounding out the show, we are going to pick the really bad ads winner for the month, because we didn't get to do it last Friday. And that's going to be done by none other than Lindsay White of Riders for Helmets. And she's going to tell us about Helmet Awareness Day 2016 version.
Coming up. And did you know, Jennifer, that Frederick the Great's coming into the studio? He's going to be in here with us.
I didn't know.
Play the piano?
Yeah, he's going to play the piano. That's right. I'm not sure we could get Frederick the Great through the door. I'm pretty sure we couldn't, actually. All right, your turn for a Daily Winnie first.
Well, I was following it all weekend, and it was the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials. I'm sorry I can do this on Monday, but it was a holiday. So Alisa Wallace.
Yay!
Finished in 14th place, the highest placed U.S. rider. The highest placed U.S. rider. Yes, you heard that correct.
Also the highest placed rookie, I think, too, right?
Yep. Philip Dutton came in 18th. Holly Payne Caravella came in 19th. And on down the line, I think that was it for the American contingent. So they all placed really high, all in the top 20, which is really impressive and very awesome. Christopher Burton won. He's like the Michael Young, you know, of
Australia.
He's the
Michael Young in training.
he's amazing.
He's the number two. And boy, the Kiwis kicked butt. The Kiwis had five of the top 10.
Yes. Sorry, Kiwi.
Yeah.
He's amazing. So, yeah, between Christopher Burton, Andrew Nicholson in second, Janelle Price and Tim Price was in fourth. So they just really had a great weekend.
We got to watch before my incident. We got to watch some of the cross country. Did you get to watch any of it?
Yeah, it's. It's
dropping
crazy.
Like flies.
It's insane. If you start looking at it, let's see. All the way 38 finished, and then there's equally that much that didn't.
I think 65 that started. So about half and half.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the...
And they
the...
were... Yeah, I mean, there were falls, but the falls were mostly riders coming off, not so much horses going down.
Oh, a Libby Head, Sir Rockstar were eliminated on cross country, and then a Bunny Sexton, too. I did watch her as well, because I love her. She ended up with a three refusals throughout the course, so she was excused, too.
A lot of duck outs and... Just that, the one was dramatic. I forget which horse it was that stopped it. There was a large bank that went down about 15 feet, it seemed like, and the horse just stopped at the top of the bank and would not go.
Yeah, that's the leaf pit. Yeah.
Not at all.
A lot of
horses
stopped at the leaf pit.
Yep.
It's super impressive that Alisa Wallace does what she does. Oh, my gosh. And she posts videos of everything. You can see everything. And just really, 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 she's just, such an incredible girl. So anyway,
I know. And you know, to finish, that's the toughest, they say it's the toughest cross country in the world. Yep.
It's the hardest four star in the world.
And
absolutely.
There she is finishing when half the field didn't. So good. And in 14th place, that's nothing to sneeze at all.
I think that's money. You get a check for that.
I think up to 15 or 20. I don't remember. But yeah, she probably make a little bit of the money back. But good for her. Congratulations. And then the AECs were over the weekend, too, but with ending up with what I ended up doing, I didn't get to follow or track who did what in the AECs, which is the American Eventing Championships.
You know, I was so mad. I was looking through who won and blah, 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 blah. You know how many West Coast riders there were that I saw? Two. Nobody's going to go to North Carolina from California. I'm so frustrated that is where it is. In Texas, at least everybody had a chance. And I was looking at the AECs. I don't even care to mention
Oklahoma,
it.
Oklahoma or Kansas.
Mad.
Isn't that right in the middle?
Nobody. Somewhere? Well, I don't think there's much any adventures in Kansas. I could be wrong. If you are one, send me an email. But
I've never heard of a Kansas adventer, actually.
I know. And there are horse trials in Oklahoma, or there's one in Oklahoma. And so there was no Oklahoma adventures. It was all East Coast, like Florida, Georgia, Maryland, Vermont, New York, you know, all up that East Coast of the United States. And it was really frustrating to see that there was only like one or two people from the West Coast that I even saw, and they're professionals, you know, so they travel, but they're based in California. So I was pretty sad to see that. Sorry.
Daily Winnie time.
Your turn.
To give my daily Winnie to the auditors who all sent me nice messages, and also for Coach Jen for helping out over the weekend. I ended up in the hospital Sunday and Monday. I was having chest pains all last week, and they kept getting worse and worse, and by Saturday I was very uncomfortable, couldn't sleep and everything. So when both my parents died of heart attacks and had multiple heart attacks and heart disease and died pretty young of heart attacks, so I thought, you know, with my family history, I better go to the hospital. So Sunday morning, Jennifer carts me off to the hospital. And of course, as soon as you say you're having chest pains, you get a room almost immediately because they want to hook you up to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. And they did the initial test, the blood test they do, and put me on the EKG, which everything looked fine there. But I was still having chest pains and stuff. So, you know, the doctor basically said, okay, we're going to keep you in for more tests. So we're going to admit you to make sure you didn't have a heart attack. And so I got to lay in the emergency room. Now, they had separate rooms, 12 little separate rooms at this hospital, which is a very nice hospital, 12 little separate rooms for the emergency room. And I got to lay there for 12 hours before they found a room upstairs. Now, I was right outside my window, which is where the ambulances came in and out. And there must have been 15 of them on Sunday, rolling stretchers in and out all day. They ran out of rooms. They had people lined up in the hallways. I almost wanted to give up my room for one of those people that looked much more injured than I was. So I have some stories. I was texting you. I was texting Jamie, and I was going, oh, Stones. I came up with the names because what they kept the curtain closed most of the time. And it's really interesting when you're just laying there with nothing to do, listening to everything that's happening in an emergency room. You're very attuned to what's going on. So I nicknamed everybody that was coming in. We had Stones guy, listening to him scream with his kidney stones. He was like
stones.
Two rooms over, and listening to him scream, it made me glad I was having a heart attack. Okay, I would have taken the heart attack over what that guy was going through. And the nurse came in and said, "Yep, Stones."
Oh my gosh!
I mean, I've heard of, I've never had that, thank God, but, you know, I've known people that have, and they said it's the most painful thing you ever go through in your life. And he was in a lot of pain. And that went on for about 2 hours. And then there was Escape Lady. I have to tell you about Escape Lady. So they bring this little old lady, must have been 85 years old, on a stretcher, and from an ambulance ride. And she is screaming from the time she comes through. It was a very noisy day. From the time she came through the door, I don't want to be here. I don't know why you took me from my home. And the ambulance guys were terrific. They kept trying to calm her down. They were very patient with her because she was probably doing that the entire way in the ambulance. And they kept saying, well, you know, you fell in the kitchen. Your neighbors found you passed out on the floor. Oh, I don't care. You can't keep me. By law, you can't keep me here. And she was, they tied her down finally. And of course, there were no rooms. And I didn't realize this, but the ambulance people can't leave until they got a room for the patient. So they're on that gurney and the ambulance people are just hanging around. At one point, there were three ambulance crews outside my little window.
You like, put her in here. Y'all go ahead.
I know. I felt bad for these guys. They're sitting around talking about, you know, what football games they were going to and stuff. And so Escape Lady kept trying to escape. So she's screaming and saying, I don't want to be here. And the ambulance guy was so good with her, trying to explain, we got to check you out. You hurt your leg. Apparently, she had a gash on her leg. So we got to check out your leg. I'm fine. I'm leaving. Well, after about an hour of that, they got her a room because I think the nurse was so frustrated. They got her a room and put her in the room and, you know, had a stern talking to that she needed to stay at her room. And then another guy came in. I'll tell you about him in a second. Another guy came in and they all went running to this guy. And sure enough, about 2 seconds later, I see Escape Lady sneaking by my window on the way to the door.
Oh, my God.
I see her going by, and she's like doing that, like they do in the cartoons where they're sneaking, they're sort of hunched over and sneaking.
Tiptoeing.
Yes, that's what she was doing across the... I was cracking up at that point. So she gets to the door. Well, it's locked. You need a code. And that's when they caught her. And the nurse comes running over. You're supposed to stay in your room. You can't keep me. Went through that whole thing again for another 20 minutes. Finally, I think they just let her leave. They got a hold of her son and they let her leave. So that was an entertainment for about 2 hours. And then there was the crazy knife guy in the hand diabetic guy. That's what I called him. He came in on a stretcher too, young guy, and his hand was all wrapped up. Apparently he had a knife stuck in it. Well, they didn't want to pull the knife out, so they wrapped it all up. Well, they were so busy in the emergency room, they weren't getting to him, and he was mad about that. After a little while, he put up with it for a little while, and then he just started saying, take me, because the ambulance crew couldn't leave. He said, take me to a different hospital. And the ambulance crew said, well, we can do that, but the other was just as full. I just called over there. And he's like, I don't care. Take me over there. Better yet, just pull the knife out and let me go. And he was,
oh my God.
He's like, I'm a diabetic. I could die with this knife in here. And they're going, you're not going to die because you're, well, I almost died the last time I was in the hospital. And that was only 3 weeks ago. And then the nurse came over, the head nurse came over and had a stern talking to, apparently he's a regular, and had almost died and went to the intensive care unit and everything. He's apparently a regular and causes this scene every time he comes in. And she finally said to him, look, get up and leave. I don't want you in my ER. If you're going to act like that, just leave. I don't care what happens to your hand. Just get out.
These stories are entertaining, Glenn, but there's a tinge of sadness.
No, it was sad.
Thing.
It was entertaining. And, you know, I was entertained because I was, that's all I had to do for 12 hours, right? Was listen to this go on. But these people who work in ERs deserve a medal.
Oh my gosh. And what you're saying is happening
every day.
10 square mile, you know, every 10 square miles every day, constantly, all the time. Yeah. Nurses, and one of my students is an ER nurse, and I just, like, ER trauma nurse. I just don't even understand how you can wake up and go to work every day and deal with that. They're amazing people.
The one nurse came in and shut my curtain and sat down, and I said, are you okay? And she said, you're the quietest one in here. I'm just taking a break.
That's hilarious. You're like, I just need to sit down for just a minute. Bless their hearts. Well,
she was hiding. So,
my I can't blame her.
Oh, man. It was like that. There's a ton more stories that were even sadder than those. It is sad. I mean, the whole thing was sad. And but yet, if you're a comedy writer, just hang out in ER for a while. You got a whole day's, a whole show's worth of material. Escape Lady was the funniest, though.
She was tiptoeing out of there. Dun, 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 dun.
I wish I had had the music playing. It would have been great. But anyway, I am led to finish the story. They admitted me. I did all the tests. I had the ultrasounds. Got to see all my internal organs, but by the way, look like they're just black blobs to me.
Still there?
They're all still there, and I know what they look like now. Pretty much just blob-like. And then I got to do the stress test, and that's so funny because they warn you. Okay, the stress test is going to be stressful. You know, you're going to be okay. And they put you on the treadmill. And it's like 9 minutes at barely a fast walk. Now, they incline, and they want to get your heart rate up to like 160. But I could have gone another 9 minutes. It really wasn't that stressful. But all the things I had to sign to do the stress test, but everything came out good. My heart is fine. I'm still having the same pains I had before, but now I've chosen to ignore them until after vacation. So Jennifer thinks it's stress getting ready for vacation. I think my Lyme might be just playing games with me again, which does on a regular time and does different stuff every time. So
you want to give a horse person a stress test to be like, you're competing in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And my heart rate, you're running cross country in 4 minutes.
You don't need the treadmill.
Jamie,
that's all you gotta
do. You're next. Oh my God, my heart rate's 190.
Dr. Ellen just wrote me a note and said, "You think those stories are bad? Try being in a New York City ER for 12 hours. I bet, Ellen.
That's right.
So I am as good as I am. I don't have any heart problems. I'm not going to die tomorrow. You guys can't get rid of me that quickly. So whatever else I have going on, we'll figure out after vacation. Or maybe it'll just be gone. Maybe the Colorado mountain air will cure me.
Well, I tell you, I had chest pains and I had to go to the ER, and I never shared the stories that happened because they were too gross. But because I didn't get a room, and I sat in the hallway, and it turns out, you know, I tore cartilage from my sternum from moving hay. So from now on, guess who doesn't have to move
hay?
This girl.
You just did that to get out of moving hay.
Oh my God. Isn't that the smartest thing ever? Like, I'm having chest pains. I need to go to the ER. We went to the ER. They did all that stuff. They're like, you have torn. There's some torn cartilage behind your sternum. Have you been doing anything really stressful?
No, I don't
do that. I moved like 100 bales of hay that were 100 pounds each. Yeah, that'll do it. You can't do that anymore. Done. Don't tell me twice.
Poor Chad.
I know. Well, now we just pay the hey, little farm guy. You're bringing the hay. You give you an extra $40 if you.
Oh yeah, we used to do that too. We used to pay the guys to stack it if they were bringing like a tractor trailer truck load. It's like, here, you guys do it.
Yep, I go.
It's worth the money.
$20 for each of you. They're like, okay. They're 19. That's like $1 billion.
That's tax free money right there.
Yep. And I'm like, and I have beer, so I always get them to stay. Not the 19-year-olds. Usually.
Well, you know what? There's somebody, Jamie, that wants some money, too, in Virginia.
I'm so excited about this because this was just a really difficult, what it looks like, Mustang makeover in Virginia. And we have the winner, Sarah Grady, here with us. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. Congratulations, number one, on winning the Virginia Mustang Makeover.
Great. Thank you.
Now, talk to us a little bit. Let's start with your horse. Tell us about this wonderful gray Andalusian looking horse that you had.
Well, you know, that's funny you say that because by the time I finally got to start riding her, she really did ride like an Andalusian. Mm-hmm. I've had previous experience riding them as a younger person, and you know, it was very similar feeling. So I look at her, when I saw her, I saw Andalusian in her, I saw some Arab in her. I don't know what her actual mix is. I'm sure that the new owners could probably send out a hair sample and try to find out what her mix is, but I would be shocked if Andalusian and Arab weren't within her bloodline somewhere. She mm-hmm. was really, really great. She came in the 28th of April, within the first hour of her getting off the trailer, I had my first touch on her. Then by May 2nd, I was sitting on her back.
Wow. That's awesome. And how many days do you guys,
reasonable.
Yeah. How many days do you guys have to train them?
It's about 112 days.
Okay. 112 days. Gotcha. Okay. So you're just a couple of days in and you're already sitting on her.
Yes.
Fantastic. So how'd that go?
Oh, really well. Like the first day I sat on her, I didn't ask her to do anything. We just stood there and said, you know, just, I'm going to sit up here. We're not going to move. We're not going to do anything. And then the very next day, May 3rd, I was like, all right, let's walk around a little bit. And pretty much from then on, we were riding.
That's awesome. So what type of riding do you do? But not in the Mustang makeover.
I'm predominantly an English rider. I was a hunter jumper for about 20 years. And then in the last 4 years, I've switched to dressage. I really, really like dressage. It's so much more involved in pulling the horse together and figuring out how to get them to use themselves, you know, at their best. And I really enjoy that. I do miss jumping. I don't do a whole lot of jumping anymore. You know, if I have a training horse in that is jumping, then we'll be working on that. But most of my focus in my daily riding is dressage riding.
Gotcha. Okay. So you are in Virginia. Now, from what I've seen from all the Mustang makeovers, you know, the English rider was abnormal. Is that how it was up there too? Or because it's Virginia, was there a lot more English influence? Was it still pretty Western?
Surprisingly, there was only one other rider who ended up riding an English saddle, and she didn't do that the whole time. She rode Western and English, okay. Whereas when I went in, I competed the entire weekend English the whole time.
Oh, fantastic. So, how does it work? Like, what, you had different classes that you have to compete in. What are those real quick?
Yeah, the first class we had on day one was a conditioning and handling class. And basically, you take the horse into the arena, they have a round pen, you turn it loose in the round pen, you show that you can detach from the horse, go back in the pen, capture it. And then you had a little bit of in-hand handling where you did some trotting in hand, you had to groom them, pick up all of their feet, ask them to back. And then the last thing in that portion of the class was hand loading into the trailer, whether that was self-loading or walking onto the trailer with your horse. Mm-hmm. So that was the first class. The second class we had was a, what they call a maneuvers class. And you go out and they have signs set up for required movements that you're supposed to do at each spot. Almost kind of like a dressage ride, and that you have, an extended trot at A, or, you know, wherever they ask you to do something. They actually had signs set up saying, you know, walk here, trot, lope, you know, extended trot. So that class was the second class we did. The third class that we did was a pattern class that you had to memorize, and you went out and you wrote it. And dependent on that particular class, the maneuvers weren't as difficult. When we got later into the competition and you made it into the top 10, they had an additional maneuvers class that was mostly walk and canter or lope. And there wasn't a lot of trot work at all. Mm-hmm. And then our final class that we ended up doing was our freestyle.
And what did you do in the freestyle?
The freestyle was a really, really cool class because you could kind of pick what you wanted to do with your horse, whatever you saw in your mind as being something that they were good at or was particularly interesting. My particular freestyle, I actually themed as a circus theme because every time I looked at her as we were moving, I was looking at photos and watching video of her go, I just kept seeing circus pony. So we went with a old style themed circus costume for myself. So kind of like the dress costume that you would see in the late 1800s. And then the big circus plume feather for the horse and, you know, some breastplate with some fringe and that to try to dress it up. And then we went out into the ring and we had different obstacles that we did. We did some jumping. I have a platform that I had her stand up on. I had her lift her leg and hold it. You know, we did like crossing tarps and different obstacles just to kind of show off her ability and all the kind of cool things she could do. We actually entered the ring with two poles with balloons tied to the back, and the balloons were flapping at ground level as we came into the ring trotting through.
Amazing.
See, that's what I see you guys do all this, and I think, geez, I've had my horse for 4 years now, and he couldn't do that stuff.
Right? So that's the question, is what makes you a Mustang trainer? What training have you had in the past? Is this something you're like, I'll just give it a try and see, or what's your background? I mean, hunter jumpers don't do this stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, this actually is my first Mustang makeover. This is actually my first Mustang I've ever trained. All of my previous background has been training, you know, horses for other people. So if there are breds, quarter horses, you know, a lot of family style riding horses that are good with children. I think that kind of helped a lot with this particular event, just because when you're getting a horse ready for a child, you need them to be as bomb-proof as possible. So right. You're going to expose them to a lot of different things that I wouldn't do if I was just training a horse necessarily for the hunt seat ring or jumpers. So I think that makes a big difference, because I've done a lot of training with family-style horses. You know, I've done a lot of training with competitive horses also. But when you're getting into that family-style training of getting a horse really ready to go out there and be a confident, dependable mount for a child, you're going to do a lot of really different and really strange things that you wouldn't normally do just getting a competitive horse together.
Now, it turns out that you were preparing this horse for a child. Tell us a little bit about the auction, because this would be the hardest thing to me in the world, is to train this horse and to go through this with this horse and then have to sell it. But you were more than happy to do that. That was kind of your goal.
That was my goal. I can tell you, about 4 weeks out from when the competition was actually going to occur, I was having a little bit of an internal struggle with this particular mare, in that she has went out and she actually did some Region 1 qualifying type shows for dressage, national rated level shows. And she was scoring in the 7s and 8s, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months under saddle. So she's got a lot of potential to continue going forward in the dressage world. So that 4 weeks out, I was really having a hard time, and I really sat down and I talked with my husband and basically just decided there's too many things on the stove. I've got other projects going on. You know, I have training horses that are coming in. I've got a 2-year-old at home that's wilder than the Mustang, is my honest answer. I've raised her since she was born. The Mustang is calmer than her. And it was just like, you know, it's not fair to Corgan, the Mustang, to keep her back when I have all these other things going on and training horses and such. So it's only fair to her to kind of let her move along. And I'm very, very excited and very happy for the bidders that ended up winning the bid. I think that it's going to be a really great match.
Plus, let's face it, not too shabby an amount either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she sold for $8,500, was the highest selling horse of the auction, also was a winner. So you won. Congratulations on that. And will you be doing another one anytime soon?
I am really highly considering doing it again. I'm kind of sad because the competition was just late enough. They actually were selecting trainers for another competition that they do that's by invitation only, that's called Mustang Magic. Yeah. That'll be occurring in 2017. And if the competition had been slightly earlier, there's a good chance I would have been selected or invited to come try that one.
Gotcha.
Well, you know what? You probably never won this much on the dressage ring. So there's that.
Yeah, definitely.
This was the highest payday so far. When you win, it's good.
Well, congratulations to you and to Corgan. And I do hope we see you out there doing it again because you did a fantastic job. And thanks for coming on to tell us about it. What is your website?
It's www.colchesterequines.com.
Okay, colchesterequine.com. And you also have a Facebook page, and we will post the link to that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck in the future, and hopefully we'll talk to you after you win the next one.
Great, thanks so much.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well,
I got to do it. I just got to do it.
I was thinking that the whole time you're sitting there with your gears running. I could hear your gears running.
I'm like, okay, you were a hunter jumper and now you're a dressage rider. How did you get to, like, where did you learn the skills for that? I feel like I have the skills now. I've got it.
Oh, I think you have the skills for this. And besides, you have a private coach and one of the best in the world, Mary.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you were talking about Monty. I was like, I don't think he's my private coach. I just pay to go to his place and learn.
No, I meant Mary. You could have her anytime.
I know. That's true. But she's busy doing her own Mustang makeovers and stuff. But someday.
Yeah, that's the first thing I was thinking the whole time she was talking. I was thinking, oh, this is killing Jamie. She's just kill. Now, you would have a hard time with the selling. Well, not for $8,500. You might just sell the horse.
You don't get to keep the money, though, I don't think.
I think you do.
I think.
Oh, now I wish I'd asked her. I don't know. If any of our listeners know, drop me a note. Because I thought you did.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think he goes to the BLM. Just like the money that I paid for Thor and Zeus did not go to the prisoners. It went to the BLM. That's who I made my check out to.
All right. We need to know. Wait a minute. Denise is chiming in. Money goes back to the Mustang Fund.
There you go. Told you.
Okay. It's not as lucrative as I thought it was then. It's great for the Mustang Fund. Not so lucrative for the trainer. All right. Strike everything I said.
Well, she won, and she got a check for $4,000, so that's not too shabby.
Oh, she did? Okay, good. Yeah. Well, there's that. All right, let's. We have to keep rolling here today.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we have Dr. Slovis on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Slovis.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. What we're going to talk about today is something that plagues every horse, it seems like, on the planet, and that is a problem with having ulcers or gastritis, stomach inflammation, being uncomfortable in the digestive system, I guess, is how I'll broadly paint this. So talk to us a little bit about what type of horse, what are some of the behaviors, what are some of the things that you may see on a horse that would give you a clue that maybe it has some ulcers or stomach problems?
Sure. Yeah, well, unfortunately, the equine gastric ulcer syndrome, as we call it a syndrome because we're not really sure why it occurs. I mean, there's many universities doing studies on this syndrome, and I don't really call it a disease because the big thing is gastric ulceration can occur in any breed. Mm-hmm. And just because you have gastric ulcers does not mean the horse is going to be clinical. And some of the indications that maybe you need your vet to come on out to assess if your horse has gastric ulcers, is chronic weight loss, colic signs, poor hair coat, decreased feed consumption. So when they used to eat several pounds of feed a day or be able to consume the hay in an adequate time frame, and they now leaving half their hay or feed behind, you know, that could be an indication of some gastric ulceration. And so those are some of the broad signs that your horse may show if it indeed has some gastric ulcers.
Okay, so then you come out, I say, gosh, Dr. Slovis, I got to call him out because I got all the my horses doing all those things. And you come out, and what are you going to do with I hand your tech the lead rope and take it from there. What do you do?
All right. So nowadays we're lucky because there's portable equipment, and there's some vets that do have these portable, what we call gastroscopes. And what they do and what we just have a colonoscope. It's what you would use in humans to do your colonoscopy. And we can use that same scope and use it in a horse. Now, it has to be about 3 meters long. But before we get to that, what we do, if your horse has all these clinical signs, we don't go and just all of a sudden do a gastroscopy.
Okay.
And gastroscopy is just a medical term of putting a scope into the stomach, just like we put a feeding tube or a stomach tube into the stomach, same method, right through the nostril. They swallow it under light sedation, and we can look at the stomach. But what we do first, we need to do a good physical exam on your horse. There may be other indications for why your horse is going off the feed. It may have some low-grade colic signs due to some intestinal issues, some low-grade inflammatory bowel disease, or it could have some low-grade bacterial changes in the gut that are altering the way the normal bacteria count in the intestinal tract. So you got more of an upset intestinal tract, not a stomach. Your horse may have pneumonia. Your horse may be ill with another disease that we would have to look into and see what is going on. Now, once we rule out the other diseases, then we start looking into the ulcers. Mm-hmm. And so a good physical exam can catch a lot of these other diseases. And so you need to do a good physical exam first, maybe do some blood work up. So again, your horse may have a low-grade infection. But after you've done all that, and we're still not sure, and maybe we've changed some of your diet around, maybe your horse can't eat high-protein grain, needs to be more of a low-protein grain. Maybe that's why it's not eating the feed well, because every time you give it a high-rich energy feed, it may upset the intestinal tract. So, again, need to rule out things first, and then we come to the gastroscopy. And if your horse warrants that, then what we do, we make an appointment, usually come into the clinic. Some veterinarians have equipment that can come out to your farm, and you have to withhold your horse from feed for 12 hours because the stomach has to be empty. That stomach can hold several gallons of food or water, and it can obscure or obstruct my view of the whole stomach because we got to see every bit of that stomach to see if there's ulcers. And that's what we do, is we pass a scope, we look on into the stomach, and then we also look into a portion of the small intestine called the pylorus or duodenum. And that's about as far as we can go. We can't really, you can't see the entire small intestine. You can probably only see a few inches, best case scenario, depending on the size of the horse, maybe a foot into the small intestine. Mm-hmm. But that's about all after the stomach. Because you just don't have a scope long enough. And so, but again, they're 3 meters of scope. It's a long scope. You know, it's 9-foot scope. That is large.
Gosh, yes.
So 9 foot long just to get into that stomach. And then from there, we grade the ulcers. There's several grading schemes for the ulcers that we use. But most veterinarians handle the typical four grades of ulceration. Now they've come out recently with grading up to 5 grades. So there's different ways of grading your ulcers so that we as veterinarians can talk to each other. And so we can describe the ulcers in regards to grades. It goes 1 to 4, 0 being normal. 1 is meaning you got a little, what we call hyperkeratosis. And that's like having calluses on your hand. You know, your stomach's been in an environment of maybe increased acid. So what happens, just the stomach lining, or the mucosa, as we call it, becomes thicker. It's like you working hard with your bare hands without gloves on. You're going to get calluses. Well, guess what? Your stomach gets the same thing.
Wow.
And then next you get small single ulcers. And then that's grade two. Grade three are large single ulcers or extensive small ones, mm-hmm. like a paintbrush pattern. And number four, they're deep ulcers. They're about to, they could perforate. They're so deep. So that's how you grade them. And
wow.
Unfortunately, it gets kind of tough as veterinarians because when you get ulcers, you can have a grade one, which is just a small little, hyperkeratosis. That's like what we describe as calluses mm-hmm. on your hand. And that's an effect of the stomach due to acid. Some horses, they don't show any clinical signs with that. It's no big deal. While others can have a huge effect in regards to weight loss and not eating. So every horse is going to be different in regards to how they react. Because sometimes I go in there and I'm like, boy, this isn't that bad. I can't believe this horse is acting like this. There must be something wrong. And there isn't, because I do an extensive physical exam. We put them on anti-ulcer medications. They come back in 30 days. That callus-like formation is gone. And the owners claim the horse is night and day better. So it's amazing how horses react to different size ulcers. I can have some ulcers that are huge, and these horses have another problem going on, and it isn't the ulcers that are causing the horse to be painful or stuff. So, again,
because you can only really hurt ulcers, in one place, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to ulcers, we as veterinarians, we may see them, but then we got to ask ourselves, is that significant or not? Is there something else going on that's creating these ulcers in the horse? Because anything that happens to the horse, they're so vulnerable to ulcers compared to other species that just being stressed or having the water removed for 12 hours, having the hay removed for 12 hours can cause small ulcers, believe it or not, in some of these horses.
Wow. And, so what is the treatment? How can we fix this? You look at this horse, you're like, wow, it's got ulcers. What are we going to do?
Yeah. So first thing you can do is you can look, easy thing to do, not every ulcer needs to be treated with prescription products. The prescription products like GastroGuard, which is the active ingredient is omeprazole, that's a prescription product. But not every ulcers need that. If you got some mild ulcers, what you can do is after the horse gets fed grain, make sure they got a little alfalfa afterwards. That alfalfa has some calcium in there. And just think about your Tums and other products that are out there. Calcium can become a buffer for acid. And also at the same time, it makes your horse salivate more, eating alfalfa. And our saliva has bicarb, which is just like baking soda in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can help soothe the stomach. So
which
some
is
horses,
Alka-Seltzer.
What we recommend.
So.
You got that right. So but what you could do is just end up giving your horse a little alfalfa afterwards. But again, it all depends on can your horse handle alfalfa. You know, some horses get hyper on alfalfa or get colicky, gets too rich. But you don't need to give them a lot, half a flake, a couple pounds, you know, after they consume their grain. So that's something simple you can do. Another thing you can do is really look back in your feeding program. Do you feed two large meals a day and that's it? Well, so that's a lot of oomph you're putting or pressure you put on the horse's stomach. They're used to being grazers, continually eating. So you may have to do one of those hay nets. That is one that has small holes in it, so it's called the slow feed hay net. There's a variety of different companies that make it. And they can chew on that all day long. They won't just consume it in 2 hours. They take their time. You can spread out your feedings to four times a day if you're lucky and can work at home or have a facility that you're bored at that can feed up more often. And you can turn out into a paddock or grazing. It's excellent to help with ulcers. So those are some things you could do, simple. Now, if you have a severe one and it's really deep and your horse is showing significant signs and you can afford it, then GastroGuard is excellent. The use of GastroGuard, which is omeprazole, you give that for 28 days. Ideally, you get another scope done to make sure it's healed. And if they heal, then sometimes you don't have to keep them on that product. You can take them off. And your veterinarian will help you adjust your feeding program to prevent that from happening again.
Gotcha.
Some horses are just prone to it, and sometimes you got to give them a full dose of the GastroGuard, and then eventually you can go to a quarter dose. And that's a maintenance dose, as we call it. And you may have to be on that before, during competitions. And again, there's different ways we can help implement these medication strategies, depending on your horse's program. Sometimes we give the drugs before a big event, a couple days before the big event, and during the show, and then a couple days after the show, then we stop it. Because we know during shows, your horses may get upset and get ulcers. And it helps prevent the ulcer formation. Because once you get an ulcer, sometimes they're really tough to clear. And so it does take some medical therapy and a prescription from a veterinarian. And there's a variety of over-the-counter products that are out there now. Over-the-counter do not require a prescription, that they're doing studies on. And so, and it all depends, you know, more homeopathic type of treatments. And that's everything from products like we have at our clinic at Hagerty Equine Medical Institute called Reline GI. It's a polysaccharide mixture, homeopathic, that just coats the stomach and just oozes, relieves inflammation. There's other products out there, like a product called Succeed, you may have heard. It was a nutrient supplement that just came out with a journal that says that works, help prevent ulcers. So there's a variety of other products on out there that you can consult your veterinarian, and they can tell you what they think about it. There's so many, I can't even list them all. And some people swear at them, and some people swear by them. So you got to really consult your veterinarian or your healthcare professional or your trainer about which ones they think over-the-counter has worked. But again, your veterinarian is going to have more of that knowledge base.
Absolutely. But, like my veterinarian prescribe the Kentucky Performance Products Nalox Advance for some horses that have gastric problems. So, I mean, there's wonderful products. They're a sponsor of ours, and we just love their products too. So definitely a frustrating thing and something that everybody, it seems like, is dealing with, you know, at some point. And basically what you need to do is just call Dr. Slovis at Hagerty. He'll answer all your questions.
Exactly. I'll get it done for you. I'll get it done.
How much is a farm called a Phoenix?
A farm called a Phoenix, it's relatively cheap. First class ticket there, I'll do it for free. You know, not a problem.
In the winter, not in the summer.
In the winter.
Yeah, exactly. In December.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dr. Slovis, you're coming for Christmas. It's decided. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about ulcers and gastritis and stomach problems. And if anybody does have questions, you know, Hagerty Equine is the place to go check out. You can contact them there. And we'll also post a link to the website, Facebook page. And we're going to hear more from Hagerty in just a second. So, Dr. Slovis, thank you so much, as usual.
Hey, you guys are more than welcome. You guys have a good rest of your morning.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hagerty Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Hagerty offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Hagerty.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Hagerty Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Hagerty and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
A couple sticks or a lighter and some gasoline, get a little steel wool and a 9-volt battery. There's 100 different ways to make that blue, orange, red, and yellow. Then build it up as warm and bright as a couple million candles. Campfire, Mother Nature's light, a campfire means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine.
summer skin, one lucky fellow that she ended up here with. We can stare at the embers and sit real close like this. Do you feel that burning in your heart and in your shins? Campfire, Mother Nature's light, a campfire means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire. Campfire. Your green eyes shine so beautiful. I'm sure you get that light. It ain't that flame, it's you, girl, that makes those blue jeans look so hot. When you find true love, well, it's like a flame is strong enough. Start in the rain, and when that hard wind blows, the spark of true love grows. It just burns hotter and hotter. Campfire, Mother Nature's not a campfire. It means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire.
That was Jared Rogerson with his song called Campfire, and I played that in honor of our vacation because we are going to be having a campfire when we're in Colorado, hopefully a couple of nights while we're staying in a cabin in the mountains. We're hoping to get that accomplished. Did I mention that we're going on vacation tomorrow?
No, I hadn't heard it at all. I haven't been hearing it.
Sure? I just want to make that clear.
You were like 17 more sleeps.
And then I got interrupted with my countdown with the whole hospital thing. I was like, oh, geez, if they find something, we're not going on vacation, but we're going on vacation, damn it. So this is this is the scoop as far as the shows are concerned. We have shows on all of the shows. We have episodes planned for all the shows, including Horses in the Morning. They just won't be live. We'll be coming back live on the 19th, but there is a lot of them new shows that we pre-recorded and did special things for you. So that will all be coming out over the next week. So look for those. There's a couple of best ofs, but not many. Most of them are new content for you. So look for that in the feed. The Horses in the Morning show will come out at 9 a.m. or earlier every morning. So you'll find it in your feed right away. You can listen in. I just wanted to make sure you knew about that. And then also, don't forget about the meetup, September 17th. That's at the Colorado Horse Park. We're doing a listener meetup. Christy from the CHA, from the Certified Horsemanship Association, will be there. Anna Twinney, who is our one of the oldest guests, not oldest.
She's
guest.
An animal communicator.
Yes,
right?
And she was on with us. What I meant to say was was on with us like when we first started the Stable Scoop Show, and has been coming on. She's supposed to come over. She's going to be in town. Also, Kim Baker, who was the animal communicator that did the readings on our show, is supposed to be coming over. So it should be a lot of fun. We
is
have
that
going to
be
coming.
Like weird for these two animal?
I know.
Like,
I'm going to feel. I should feel the energy.
He says this. No, he does not. He says this. He likes carrots. No, he says he doesn't like carrots. That's going to be like...
Yes, it could be some interesting karma in the... And we're meeting at the Colorado Horse Park, 11 o'clock at the Pony Rides, because they're having a big family festival that day. So they're going to have all kinds of stuff going on, and we can watch cross country go that day as well. So...
Yeah, well, you're going to have fun if you want to see me.
Yeah, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at Flag Is Up Farms this Saturday night. It's Monty's Night of Inspiration. And it basically does a demo and then has everybody up to his house for dinner and gives a speech. It's awesome. I went last time and, you know, my dad has really wanted to meet him. And my dad knows him from cowboy movies. He doesn't know anything about his horse training, but he knew who he was from cowboy movies.
Yeah, your dad's a cowboy nut.
Oh my gosh, the crazy cowboy movie fan. And so I'm taking
my dad.
Does he
have a room like with big posters and stuff everywhere of all the cowboy movies?
Oh, he did. His entire house was decorated in cowboy movie posters and like old outfits until he got married.
Oh, that'll do it.
That shiz is in his office.
That'll do it.
Got married. Gotta go. Gotta go. So it's really some really awesome stuff.
Are you flying up or are you driving up?
We're going to fly. We're going to leave on Saturday morning. The great thing about my husband being an airline
pilot. Oh,
does he
get to come along too?
He's not coming. Oh, no. Okay. So we're dropping. He's got to go to work. So just my dad and I had not to fly his up.
Oh, that'll be really fun. He will be. And, you know, Monty will be so excited to meet him too.
I doubt it, but it's okay.
Monty doesn't like stalkers.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a little like.
He can't be any more a stalker than you.
My dad is. Out of control. And I'm going to be like, no scotch until after you talk to Monty.
Oh, no. And you know what? With that southern accent, a little bit of scotch, I wouldn't understand a thing he says.
Oh my God. Nobody does.
Listeners that have been listening a long time have heard her father. What is that? Year one or two of the show.
Man.
And I barely understood what he was saying. It was really
you
tough.
You actually were typing to me. What is he saying?
I didn't know. I needed a translator.
Yeah. He's super southern and you get a scotch into him and boy, he just comes out of
the
woods.
Did he grow up in the mountains of Georgia?
No.
Oh.
He grew up in Atlanta, but Atlanta wasn't a city back then. And so it was just a city and everybody was still southern. It wasn't the melting pot that it is now. You know, I grew up in Atlanta and I certainly have words that come out as very southern and I still say y'all because it's just ingrained. But I feel like I grew up in a more metropolitan area where my daddy and his daddy and they all talk like that and that's just thing they do and that's how
does.
They go.
He does. Mm-hmm. You know what? I kind of feel it's a sin that you grew up in the South and then became a vegetarian. That's kind of like some great, you know, thing that shouldn't happen.
Oh my gosh! Just the other day, I met a guy who used to live in Atlanta, and he's like, "Oh, tell me you used to go to so and so barbecue pit down on the thing." And I was like, "No,
I love their baked beans."
Probably not, because they're probably cooked in ham.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
There's no southern cooking you can eat. You can't even eat cornbread. It's got bacon fat in it or something.
Oh, that's true. It does. That's what makes it so good.
Yeah. Jeez. Anyway.
Okay,
so that's
now
where
real
I
quick,
Friday.
I talked to you. We never talk between the shows. I mean, we'll text occasionally, but we never talk on the phone. But yesterday, you were kind enough to call and actually see how I was. I think you just wanted to see if you had the morning off. But you did call and see how I was. And we got talking about an adventure you had over the weekend. So tell us about your ride.
Well, I took... We had to go pick up Duke up in Flagstaff. And so we decided to take, I took Abby and Joey and Zeus came with me and Chad and Lucas and I, we all went up to Flagstaff to just spend the night and cross country school on Saturday and Sunday with just Abby and I. And that went great. That was wonderful. What was not wonderful was there was the hugest state fair, county fair going on. Where the cross country course is. It's a big place and they have all sorts of different things and they were having a big fair with like the animals and everything. And I've never really been to a fair. And I thought, Lucas,
you've never been to a fair. What the hell's wrong with you?
Really? You know, I grew up in Atlanta. We didn't go to fairs. There was no fair in downtown. You know,
with the daddy sounded like that. I thought you'd lived at the fair.
Never really went to a fair with animals. I've been to like a little carnival thing, but I've never really been to a fair. So I told Chad, I'm like, I want to go to St. Louis the fair. I was so excited to go to the fair. I'm going to go to a fair and there's chickens and there's pigs and there's all those animals that you that, like, don't just pet them now and be nice to them now because we don't want to think about later. Anyway, so I was having the best time. We got a Lucas a bracelet to ride rides, and we put him on every little spin around airplane little kitty ride, and he loved every second of it. There was little bus,
daredevil, huh?
Little trains, little car, yeah, and he rode it by himself because we were all too big. Well, at some point, Chad goes, "Okay, Abby is really, really bored. She is 15 or 14, and she's out here with a 3-year-old, and she's watching 3-year-old ride rides, and she's bored. So you need to take her over there to that section over there with all the real rides." So we walk over there, and she sees this ride called Freak Out.
Okay, anytime you see a ride called Freak Out, it's not for anybody over 30.
I'm going to limit it to 15. Because something happens, apparently, to your equilibrium as you get a little older, and it, like, thins out in your eardrum. This is, like, a real thing, and you just can't handle those things as much as you. I used to be a roller coaster nut. Let me get on it. Let's go upside down. Let's spin around. Let's do twists. Let's do turns. No fears, but let's do it. So the free fall rides, God, bring it on. That's the coolest. So we see the freak out ride, and I look up, and I want you to maybe, Jennifer, if you could YouTube, you know what? I'll post the link. There's a freak out. People have posted YouTube videos of freak out, and it's on one of the most 10 most intense thrill rides.
Isn't it the one on the big arm and it goes up and it spins you? It spins the whole thing around and up and down and around.
It's a giant pendulum type thing, and it doesn't just go up and down. Yeah, you go whoosh all the way up, and it almost flips you all the way over, and then it spins it around, and you fly back down backwards. And
why did you think that was a good idea?
Well, Abby was like, I'm not going on it by myself. Like, I said, Chad, no. And Chad's like, yeah, he's a fighter pilot. Like, he does not care. He goes, you will get more out of this ride than I will. Yeah, I mean, like, last night he was night flying in the back seat of an F-16. Like, the thrill rides do nothing for him. He's like, you'll get more out of it. I was like, I don't know. I don't think I can do it. I can't do that. I can't. He's like, do it. You can do it. And I watched it, and I was like, you know, that's pretty short ride. Like, it's pretty short.
I can
short.
Do it for 2 minutes.
I mean, what's it like? Yeah, 2 minutes, I can do it.
How long were those 2 minutes, Jamie?
Oh, my God. That was the worst decision I've ever made. And that includes monumental bad decisions that I've ever made. But I'm telling you what, I wanted to die. I wanted to die in the first 10 seconds. I was like, and I lost my voice screaming, and I don't even remember screaming, Glenn. I don't even remember screaming. It was the worst, painful, torturous, horrible event ever that I've ever experienced. And I was like, I don't like this. Like, it was horrifying, awful. And I realized that if I just focus kind of like on the person in front of me, then it wouldn't be so bad. And he was like a 12-year-old Asian who was like checking his cell phone, you know, during it. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why is this so hard for me? I got off, and Abby just like hops off. She's like, that was fun, and walks off. And I am sweating. And she goes, are you okay? Apparently I was stark white, sweating, tunnel vision. I got down, and Chad was down there with Lucas in the stroller, and I was like, get out of the stroller. I made him get up, and I sat in the stroller, and he had to push me for like the next 2 hours. It was the worst experience of my entire life. I'll never do anything like that ever again. I said, my carny days are over.
Misty just sent me, one of our listeners just sent me a message. I'm with her. My stepmom made me ride the freak out with her at the Tulsa State Fair 1 year. It was awful.
It's the worst thing ever. It's the worst thing ever. Don't ever do that if you are over the age of 15. And like I said, these kids are like, you know,
whatever,
on their cell phone during it. And I'm just like, I'm going to die. And Chad's like, that might not have been a good idea for you. I was like, you think, jerk, you're the one who made me
do in the first place? Abby's taking your raggedy, you know. Well, then she didn't have to ride it. There's other people on it. I was like, I got done, and the rest of the day, I was like, hey, by the way, I hate you both. I hate you both. I was sick for like 3 to 4 hours. I'm sick.
I'm sorry. We've all been there, which is why I'm laughing. I'm in sympathy with you. All right. On that note, we have to get to a big celebrity is joining us. Well, the human of a true celebrity is joining us. He has been in dozens of newscasts around the world. All the major networks around the world have covered him. We've been talking about him on the show here forever. He's going to be making his way to the Big Apple shortly to make appearances at the Central Park Horse Show. He is named after the ruler of Prussia in the 1700s. Of course, we are talking about Frederick the Great, the most handsome horse in the world. And we're welcoming Frederick's owner because apparently Frederick's too good to talk to us. Stacy. Hi, Stacy.
Good morning to you, and good morning from Frederick, too.
Oh, good, because, you know, something about he didn't want to come to the phone, and I just thought he was too good for us. I don't know.
Yeah, he's actually getting a little bit of beauty rest right now. So
like he needs any. I need beauty rest. Frederick doesn't need beauty rest. All right, now everybody wants to know the story. We have actually been talking about Frederick here on the show for since you came into the limelight. Did you breed Frederick? Did you buy Frederick? What was the story?
No, I fell in love with the Friesian breed and was determined to find that pinnacle of a Friesian stallion. And it took me a year and a half. I searched all over the world, internet, farms. And let me tell you what, when you look at that many horses, they all start to look alike.
Yep.
And I finally, one day, a year and a half later, ran across a picture of Frederick when he was in the Netherlands, and he was 6 years old and had never left the farm, was still on the same farm that he was born. And I want to tell you, there was something about him. I said, that's it. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I do believe in love at first sight. So we had him imported over here. And you know what? From there, when he hit the United States, he was in the Del Mar dressage show there and took the blue ribbon. And let me tell you, from there, Frederick has held his own. So now, that's how I ended up.
When you
Frederick.
First saw him before you brought him over, did he have the mane like that? Was that grown out like it is now?
It was not that long. It came down to, I'd probably say his shoulders, but it was incredibly thick. It wasn't that it was long, but Frederick has one of the most thickest Friesian manes that I've ever seen. You can put your hand in it and your elbow in it and your arm disappears. So he's definitely been blessed with the hair gene. It takes also, some care, too.
I got to tell you, that's where all of us that are listening, listening to this show, are horse owners. We all deal with the gnarly manes and tails and know what a hassle that is. And we're always pulling our horses' manes because we don't want to deal with it. What kind of product do you use to keep it like that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I have used everything. And in the last probably 6 months, I have been working on my own ingredients and my own line, which is big news coming out after the first of the year that Frederick's actually going to have his own shampoo.
Of course he is.
Conditioner product. And naturally, because I have realized that, what it takes to help a mane grow. I mean, outside of products, you have to keep their hair braided. You have to keep it up. And they're going to go rub. They're going to rub on everything they can find. But, Frederick definitely has been blessed with, good hair, I guess. I have seen it in his foals. It comes through. So he obviously, he's been blessed with hair.
Now, what was the turning point that made him go viral? What was that one thing? Can you pin it to one thing?
Well, Frederick has always had a fan base. Callie Matherly of Callie's Pictures hooked up with me several years ago. And we went out, our first shoot, And let me tell you what, there was something. Frederick is a showman. When he gets in front of a camera,
he's a ham. He's a
crowd,
big ham. You could tell it when he's in the pictures.
Oh, he lights up. I mean, he will look at the camera when he runs by. And, you know, Callie's clicking, and he's running, and he's posing. And when those pictures came out, you know, her and I realized, oh, my goodness. It took the talent of both of them to come out with beautiful pictures. Well, he had a fan base already, and those pictures were all over the world. I mean, we have seen them come in, comments from everywhere. The Daily Mail got hold of a couple of pictures, and they wanted to do an article on him. When they did, the pictures went really viral. I mean, they didn't just go through his fan.
That's where
base,
we found you the first time. Was,
he's already.
Yeah, that's where we found you was Daily Mail. I think that was the thing that really turned him worldwide.
It really did. And, you know, he's been on all the major TV networks. And, you know, the one thing is we're very honored is Frederick's going to New York, you know. So people have an opportunity to see him live. He's a very busy boy, but we're going actually next week. And he's got some, you'll have to watch, because while he's there, he will be doing some other interviews and films for some celebrities that will be on the air, which we'll post as they come. But the Rolex Central Park Horse Show, he'll be there. And then now, he'll go on to the Tryon International Center. So
what's he going to do in New York at the show? Is he going to be doing a dressage demonstration, or what's he going to be doing?
No. He's basically just going to come out in all his...
And look good.
He's going to do kind of like... Yeah, and look good. No, it'll be like a musical expo that he'll come out and do with a rider. And... you know, he's so captivating when he first comes out. It, you know, a 3 to 4 minute segment, you're going, what was that?
I mean, he's just,
so people,
he truly is breathtaking.
It.
I mean, he really is. He just...
Okay, so I got to jump in, because I heard this whole, oh, there's the most beautiful horse in the world, the most beautiful horse in the world. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. I'm a horse owner. My horse is the most beautiful horse in the world. How dare somebody like go public with their horse is the most beautiful horse in the world. And then I saw him, and I was like, okay. That is the most beautiful horse in the world.
A lot of people didn't even think he was real. They thought he was a statue, which is another reason that it's good we're getting him out. But there are beautiful horses. Let me tell you something else about Frederick that I think has come out in his videos and his pictures also, which Frederick's just a reflection of all the horse breeds. And that's his personality. Frisians love people. They would rather be with people than they would horses. He follows people around like a puppy dog. He's been nose to nose with newborn babies. He has stood in line. He has stood after a show with lines of people to come by and take pictures with him. I mean, the
so his disposition is really good. He's really quiet for that. You don't have to worry about him. I mean, he's a stallion, so... You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, no. He's very, very kind, very, very sweet.
Well, I was pretty mad at you for a while there, but you, because I was like, she's just good at branding. She's the queen of branding. And then I saw him, and I was like,
he really is something else.
And I said on the show, too, I was like, the most beautiful. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hard to compete with. Now, he is stunning. And obviously, is he enjoying his work as a father, too?
Well, he is.
Yeah,
at this time, he has a waiting list.
I bet he does.
He does. He has so many commitments in media. He's doing a 10-part miniseries called Frederick the Great Behind the Scenes, which will be aired sometime in 2017, which is a fun show. It really shows behind the scenes that people don't see. So it's something that, you know, a lot of his fans are looking forward
to. Hopefully they're
to.
Not going to show and, them collecting him, right? They're not going to show that.
Oh, no. That's a little personal to Frederick.
Even Frederick doesn't want to show that.
Get the cameras out of here.
Come on now.
This is genius, though, because now, I mean, he's got to be breeding mares all over the world because you went viral with him. I mean, how much has this changed his stud book?
His price went up. So much it changed.
Well, it has, but that is something that I've always been very particular about because I preserve the breed as it is.
So only Frisians?
Are you there? Oh, she was breaking up on
us. I mean, sharing him with the world is also important.
Question, does he only breed Frisian mares then?
Yes, at this time, he only breeds Frisian mares. Yes.
Well, let me send you a big thank you for that, because I'm tired of seeing on Craigslist a half Frisian, half pony cross. You know, that kind of stuff frustrates me. So good job on keeping the breed pure. It's important.
They're too beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very important. And they're just too beautiful horses, you know, to go outside of that. But, he's looking forward to his trip to meet fans and people and see them live and see that he really is a real horse.
he's just statue.
He's
You're
real.
Lying.
Well, congratulations. You know, this is tremendous what you've accomplished here and what you've done. And you know what I think is the best thing about this? And we talked about this before in the show. I think the best thing about this is you've brought horses to the world of non-horse people. And that's always been a goal. It's what we try and do by doing these shows is get non-horse people interested in horses. And I think that's what Frederick has done. By allowing people to see how beautiful they are. Now, maybe he's, you know, extra special exception, you know, the Fabio-like thing, because I certainly don't look like Fabio. But it has brought that attention, and that it's what we need to keep the horse industry going. So on a serious note, thank you for representing the horse world. He does it that very well.
Yes, wonderful. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, that's why he's also going to be coming out with a documentary called They Have No Voices. There's so many horses around the world people take no notice of and what they go through. I believe that, you know, it has really, in the world that we live in, it is a breath of fresh air to be able to turn our attention to something that, you know, is truly beautiful, and I'm really thrilled to be able to bring Frederick, you know, to the forefront.
Well, you're doing a great job.
And have fun with the celebrities in New York.
They'll have fun with him.
Well, thank you so much, Stacy. Yeah. We really appreciate it. You can follow Frederick the Great on Facebook. Just search for Frederick. That's F-R-E-D-E-R-I-K, the Great, on Facebook. And good luck. Continued good luck with him. I think it's a fun thing for the horse world.
Yeah, very cool.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, take care.
And you all have a great day, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How cool is that? You
that
know, we need the Daily Mail to talk about us. What can we do to get the Daily Mail to talk about us?
She like gets it. She gets branding.
Yes.
She gets labeling. I mean, to the whole question about, so what do you use in the hair? Well, he's going to have his own line coming out.
And he should.
I mean, she's good. She is good.
He should.
Frederick,
I mean,
is good.
With his picture on the bottle, perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of other things coming out, too. More power to her.
And what made me happy was
we're all just jealous.
Oh God, he's spectacular. But yeah, the fact that they're keeping that bloodline super pure. He was imported from Holland, like where they are actually created. The breed was created. So obviously, she's working real hard on.
The name fits. If he was named Joe, it wouldn't be the same, right? He's Frederick the Great. It's perfect.
Joe the mailman.
It just wouldn't,
go.
You know,
so
Norm. It wouldn't be the same.
Norm. Joe the mailman and Norm. Yeah,
no,
no,
it used to be
Frederick the Great. I love it.
All right. We are now heading into our last guest before vacation, and we're so happy to have her here once again. And, of course, that's Lindsay White from Riders for Helmets talking about the next International Helmet Awareness Day. Hey, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us again.
Hey, I have a comment. You told me you look like Fabio. That was the only reason.
No, I said I don't look like Fabio.
So what is
sorry.
That?
I know. I think you misunderstood me. As far as you can get away from that would be me. And I don't look like Frederick the Great either, that's for sure.
I think we should get Frederick to do a bit of promotion of International Helmet Awareness Day. What do you think?
I think if Frederick was wearing a helmet, you'd sell a million of them. But it'd have to be his line.
I know,
it'd have
exactly.
to be a Frederick line of helmets.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, you got to get me in touch with her. There
okay.
could be some possibilities there.
All right, we'll work on that. Well, you know, it's that time of year again. It's time for International Helmet Awareness Day. So give us the details.
Well, I can't believe I have to say that this is our seventh International Helmet Awareness Day this year.
Wow.
Where has the time gone? But it will be held on Saturday, September 17th, and you can find a list of participating tack shops around the globe at riders4helmets.com. And if you just click the International Helmet Awareness Day link, you'll see the drop down to participating retailers, and retailers are still signing up. So we're telling all equestrians, you know, to give it until the day before the event, before they take a look at that map, because we are updating it daily and we still have tons more to add to the website. So we've got tech shops in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England, Ireland, South Africa. Gosh, I know I'm going to miss some other countries that we haven't even got retailers listed on the map yet.
There's none in the U.S.,
everywhere.
Jamie.
So,
none in the United States.
Oh, the U.S. Oh, and of course, did I really forget the U.S.?
Yes, you did.
Quite
but,
a few in the U.S.
It's okay,
well.
That British
yes,
accent, how quickly she forgets us.
I know, I'm sorry. I won't leave that one down. No, there's retailers in the U.S. taking part as well. And we have, very excited, we have 15 helmet brands on board this year, including two new helmet brands that are participating for the first time. We have Gin Stirrups, which is an Italian brand, and they are joining us. They have some super-looking helmets, so I'm quite excited about that, and some very snazzy colors. So they are taking part for the first time this year, so we're very grateful to them. And also we have, and I'm going to pronounce the name wrong, Resistol. It's actually a cowboy hat helmet, and
yes,
they
yes.
just sent me a message last night, and they are taking part now. So that's very exciting.
Oh,
because
that is
could
cool.
be another in into the some of these Western riders with the helmet. So we're quite excited to have them on board as well. So, and I cannot forget to mention, you know, all of the other helmet brands that have participated every year. Since we founded Riders for Helmets in 2010, we have to say a big thank you to them. Charles Owen, IRH, GPA, Champion, Troxel, LAS, Gatehouse, Tipperary, 1K, Ovation, Sam Shield, and Uvex. All of those guys are on board yet again as well. And that's a huge big thank you because they do it every single year. And we really appreciate their support. And, you know, International Helmet Awareness Day couldn't happen without them.
There are a lot of helmet companies. I just, you know,
there
until
are,
you see the
yeah.
list, you don't realize how many helmet companies there are. So, you
there
know,
is,
this...
and we still don't have them all on board either. So next year, watch this space and we'll try and get some other new ones too.
We don't have a lot of time this morning. And, you know, we've talked about helmets a lot here on the show. And I think the regular listeners know the rules. But you need to take a look and see if it's over 5 years old. There's a date in every helmet. So take a look at that. If it's over 5 years old, you need to pitch the thing and start over and get a new one. This is the perfect day to do it. Are there discounts that day, too? This is September 17th, that Saturday. Are there discounts?
There are, yes. So all of the participating retailers that are on the map at the ridersforhelmets.com are offering a discount on helmets that one day only. So as I said, go to the map the day before and find a participating retailer near you. We're also excited. Go ahead and follow the Riders4 Helmets Facebook page as well, because we're going to be announcing on there some live webinars, the educational webinars that we're going to be hosting on the Saturday. We're just finalizing the times for those. And we're also going to be doing some new Facebook Live events starting this Friday as well.
Oh, cool.
So hop on over. So we've got some cool new stuff we're going to be doing. So hop on over to Riders for Helmets on Facebook and give us a follow and you can learn more about the event. You can join our community and, you know, find out all about all about what's going on in the land of helmets. And I have to just very quickly, because I know we're very short on time, but I just wanted to just read you this one paragraph a lady had posted on from Texas, that had posted Texas in the USA, had posted on the Facebook page last night. And this is just amazing that we get these kind of messages. But she said, my child was in middle school. He took a fall when his loving horse was spooked. He hit the ground, split his head, and was airlifted to the nearest ICU. We didn't know his own parents for over 2 weeks, with millimeters from breaking his neck, and his spinal cord was swollen and he couldn't walk. He left the hospital a month later in a wheelchair and eventually made his way to a walker and back to school. That helmet saved his life and his way of life. Had he not had a helmet on, he would have died in my arms, or worse, been paralyzed for life or been brain dead. I just found your page, Riders for Helmets, and I cannot be a bigger advocate for wearing a helmet every ride. This is him now in college with his big boy Sundance. And she posted a beautiful photo of him with his horse. So that's just, you know, really endearing that we continue to get those messages all around the globe, not just from the US, come into the Riders for Helmets page. And we love it when people share their helmet stories with us. So whether it's whether a helmet has saved their head, or they wish they'd been wearing a helmet, or they've just got something to say about helmets, you know, join our page and share your stories, and we'll get them out to the masses. Because what we do at Riders for Helmets is education 365 days of the year. So it doesn't just stop with Helmet Awareness Day. And I can't stress that enough. So, you know, hop on over and join our social channel.
Well, you do a great job. You're the driving force behind us. And I know we say it every year, but thank you, Lindsay, for being the advocate out there. You put more helmets on people than anybody else in the world. And for that, we appreciate, one, that you come on the show every year and talk about it, and that you're a friend of ours, too. And we're very proud of all the work that you've done. It really has been.
And I've got one question, yeah. Justin. Are you buying a new helmet this year?
No, I bought them last year, because after you came on last year, I looked at my dates and mine had expired. And I'm the one preaching it every year.
Oh!
So I got two new ones last year. I got two new ones.
Lindsay, I just, like always happens, I bought right before the sale. I didn't know when I needed a new helmet. I bought a new helmet like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, this happens to Jamie like every year.
But you could always use one in pink or something, Jamie, right?
Yeah,
that's what I need, a pink helmet.
But a girl can't have too many different helmet colors. I mean, come on.
You're absolutely
one
right.
One for every outfit.
That's something I need to think about.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much. They can find more at riders4helmets.com, September 17th. And I think there's some online retailers, too, not just local, but both, right?
There's most of the major online retailers, and like I say, we're still adding people to the map as well.
Okay, and will you do us a favor? We have to pick a winner for last month's prize for Really Bad Ads, and because we lost power on Friday with the hurricane, we couldn't do it. Will you help us pick the winner?
I will. I'd be delighted.
All right, so the winner's going to win a Total Saddle Fit Stretch Tech Shoulder Relief Girth worth $200. This is the most high-tech girth out there today. Both Reese and Philip on the Dressage Show use it and love it. We know many of the listeners have bought these girths and absolutely love them. If you want a girth that's going to just be the most high-tech girth that really takes your horse's care in mind, and also the saddle position in mind, then the Stretch Tech Shoulder Relief Girth is for you. And we are going to pick a winner. Now, Jennifer needs to tell us, she's going to pick a number between what and what?
1 and 154.
Lindsay?
97.
Ooh, right at the bottom. 97. The winner is, drum roll, Beth Oswegan. Wins the girth.
Yay! Congratulations, Beth. I know we see your name a lot in Really Bad Ads, so congratulations on winning the girth. And Jennifer, go ahead and send Jennifer your details at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get those off to the Total Saddle Fit people. And thank you to TotalSaddleFit.com for providing that terrific prize. We really appreciate it. And thank you, Lindsay, for joining us and for helping us pick a winner.
Thank you so much for having me on again. And I have to say thank you guys so much for your ongoing support of the Riders for Helmets campaign. You have been with us from the beginning, and we are so grateful for all that you do when you always pick up our press releases and news and everything else and have us on the show. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, as long as you keep doing it, we'll be here, girl.
That sounds good to me.
All right, see you, Lindsay.
Even though you don't look like Fabio.
He thinks he does, though, so it's all good.
You haven't seen my hair lately. See you, Lindsay.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, if you want to, we're not now, because we are going to be off this Friday and the next. I think Jennifer does have a best of really bad ads planned for you. But you can get your ads in for when we do come back. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Because it is a short month this month with really bad ads, we're doing a box of crap out of my closet. And I just went to Ada, so I have some new crap to put in the box. And believe me, some of this stuff you're going to want to win. So get your ads in today. I know some people have even posted that it's on their bucket list to win a box of Glenn's crap. Now, that's somebody that needs a better life, in my opinion. But
they just want your crap, Glenn.
I guess. Well, this has been fun, but I'm going on vacation.
Yeah. No, you know what, Glenn? I really want to sit down and have a long discussion about let's go over gastric ulcers again, shall we? Okay, Glenn. This is how this works.
Bye, everybody.
Enjoy your
trip. See you in a couple weeks.
Wish Lucky good luck. He's got surgery Friday.
Oh, good luck, Lucky.
Bless the little heart. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Have a good one.